There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 552, February 16th, 2012. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you, the F1Weekly listener, the stuff that you really want, need, got to have today. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, another Magnussen will drive for McLaren. Bahrain Grand Prix will go on, according to Mr. Bernie Eccleston. Mercedes GP F1W03 looks pretty good, I think. It was very hard to tell. I mean, if you're going to give us a sneak preview, give us a stinking sneak preview. And, of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Not too bad. I've had a wee bit of a cold for the past few days, and you might hear it in my voix.
On occasion.
Yes, the voice today is going to be a little bit strained, but I will suffer through it. But yes, great news for the young Magnussen. He will be test driving the McLaren. Kevin Magnussen, 19-year-old. Of course, his father was Jan Magnussen, who was at McLaren 1995. Kevin just joined the McLaren Drivers Development Program last year, and he will start doing simulation work with Gary Paffett. I think that's pretty cool.
It's a good guy to learn from.
Well, I like the lineage, you know.
Yeah.
Jan Magnussen, I think we've interviewed him. We've done so many interviews, I can't recall them all. But we could talk to Nasser about this later on in the programo. And Martin Whitmarsh says that we are racers at McLaren, and enabling talented drivers to fulfill their potential is our main goal here at McLaren. Strategic investment in the future of the children. Keep up the good work. No, Kevin's shown a lot of great progress, and I believe he was runner-up in the British F3 series last season. So, great news for McLaren. I like it. Now, there's a lot of hoopla on the Bahrain Grand Prix. To be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to happen. But as the days go by, we're mid-February already.
Bernie wants his dough.
Well, not only that, but they paid for last year and didn't get the Grand Prix. And Bernie thinks that it's really not a big deal. Formula One is not really political.
No, and ultimately it comes down to whether or not Bernie ultimately feels that he can provide, or that Bahrain can provide, security to the teams and the venue. And
that's all he cares about.
Yeah, and I haven't heard much as far as civil unrest in Bahrain over the last 6 to 12 months.
No, all those people have been eliminated, Stephen.
Yeah.
So they've cleaned house. And like you said, safety, security, and quality food and comfort.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what Bernie wants, and that's what he's going to get. And not only that, but apparently a lot of British MPs have been pushing for the Bahrain Grand Prix to go ahead. And I think it's important for Bahrain. And they may be slipping some extra.
Oh, I'm sure there's money in the political coffers of those MPs.
Yes.
You know, so, it's like any democracy. You need the cash to get reelected.
Exactly. And I think in the end it's going to happen. I think it's not going to be a big deal. I'm just not crazy about it because I think it's a boring race.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, it's the track that we're not thrilled with.
Bernie says, quote, "We are planning to go. I've always said that if there was going to be any drama, it would be on the Day of Rage. They would have to do something then. People there seem confident that a race 2 months away will be fine. The teams are not the slightest bit concerned. They seem content, happy, and they're giggling about it. Things will go ahead with no problems. Last year was a more clear-cut decision not to go, but things have changed a lot since then." Unquote. So there you have it. And in the end, I think he's right. You know, if they paid, everything's calm on the Western Front.
Yep. And it's not a soccer match, so.
Excuse me. Exactly. It's not a soccer match where everything can get pretty scary.
Yeah.
As we have seen.
A little out of control.
Okay, so Mercedes Grand Prix finally lifted some veil.
It's probably very similar to some of the first pictures I saw of the McLaren. It's like, okay, I'm sorry, but I don't have the ability to piece together your car from these isolated shots of
shadows, nothing. Shadows and smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be honest with you, from what I did see of the Mercedes, it looked pretty good.
Did they have the step-nosed?
But it wasn't as bad as the rest.
This
could be the second best-looking car on the grid.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it on track.
Exactly. No, it's going to be very interesting. It's coming out February 21st in Barcelona, beginning of the second series of testing.
Right. So looking forward to that.
I am very much looking forward to that because a lot of these cars are going to be changing extremely, excuse me, by the time we get to...
Well, half the cars that we saw in Jerez may not be look the same when we get to Barcelona.
No. Lotus has even admitted, they say, that the car we take to Melbourne will significantly be different than the one we ran in Jerez. There's a lot of work still to do before the season opener, and this is probably from Eric Boullier. And he says many elements will change. The front wing, the rear wing, the side pods, the pod vanes, the engine cover, the barge boards, the floor, some suspension elements, some small brake ducts featured just, you know.
In other words, the entire body of the
exactly.
car will change.
There won't be any similarities whatsoever. And Boullier saying this right now really is a statement that could be put on all the teams, except for maybe the low-budget guys.
Right.
HRT, even Caterham, I think we'll see a lot of changes. And I think it's going to be fascinating, and I'm glad, because some of these cars so far need a lot of changes. And Lotus, with Kimi Raikkonen, they've made some big promises to this guy.
Yeah.
A lot of people, at the beginning of the 2012 season, I think the ratings are going to be high. Because all the folk that Kimi Raikkonen was hanging out when he was doing the camping truck series, and then when he went to NASCAR series, you know, all those hot dogs, they're going to be going, "Wow, man, there's a bud, Kimi!"
Exactly.
You know, and they're going to watch this stuff.
Definitely a possibility. You're going to pull some of your NASCAR fans across the pond to watch some music.
Absolutely.
Maybe not at the 4 in the morning, but, you know, in the replay at 1.
And I'm telling you, if by Austin, and, you know, that's way at the end of the season, I have to admit, but still, you never know. If Kimi has a chance at this championship with this Lotus, if it's competitive, it's going to be an exciting season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be completely out of control. Kimi's back. He's focused. He's got his motivation. I heard he's already called Jean Zalesi a couple of times about just pronouncing motivation. So I don't know, but I'm pretty excited. I can't wait to see the Mercedes. I think it's going to look outstanding. I think the McLaren's nose is going to change a wee bit.
Likely.
And the other fascinating thing is the performance of the Ferrari, because now they're going with a pull rod suspension instead of a push rod suspension. And these things go back and forth. And really, I don't think Ferrari has used a pull rod suspension for 10 years. And maybe they were reminiscing
Yeah, it could be that, you know, they modeled it out and did some, you know, some testing within the computers, and it was providing a better stability. And maybe they've thrown it on a car and put Fernando behind it, and he's like, ooh, I like the way that feels, kind of thing.
I agree. I think if Fernando says he likes it, they're going to go with it. They're going to go with it. I mean, Fernando is numero uno.
Yep.
So I'm really happy to see that, and I think it's nice to have that kind of variety at the top, at the front of the spears in terms of cars, and it's going to be fascinating, especially versus the push rod to the pull rod. I'm telling you, this season is going to be absolutely outstanding. Now, one of F1 Weekly's favorite drivers, young drivers, up and coming, Jean-Éric Vergne. Of course, Toro Rosso's new dude, who really is the protege that a lot of people expect to take Mark Webber's place at Red Bull for 2013. He is super pumped up about Toro Rosso. He thinks they're an above mid-pack team. And with this guy's driving skill and zest for winning, Toro Rosso is the one to watch this season.
They've always had potential. The thing that I've seen with them over the last couple of years is they just really haven't been able to realize it. You know, we've seen times when their car's been really quick.
Both Buemi and Alguersuari. Very surprising sometimes how quick they were.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of them being able to... Frankly, I think for Toro Rosso, it ultimately comes down to consistency throughout the season.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to get in to Q1 repeatedly so that they have the opportunity to score points. Because if you're if you're out in Q2 most of the time, it's really tough to score because, you know, that means that you're starting 6th to 14th, and it's not as good a chance.
No, and I'm very impressed with this young man's sophistication. He is already talking about getting along with Daniel Ricciardo, getting along with him, not doing a big cage rattle thing, even though I'm certain that he knows that after a few races, he's going to be number one.
Yeah, it comes down to, it's a smart thing to do. It's like, you know, don't try to one-up him in the pits. Do it on the track.
I agree, and keep it clean.
Yeah.
And I think Vettel and Mark Webber were able to do that. Even though it got a little out of... Mark Webber, sometimes his body language on...
Yeah, and podiums. I think for Webber, it seemed more that it was team decisions that tended to fall toward Vettel.
You mean when he called them wankers and stuff like that?
You know, pretty much... I think they pretty much got it worked out after that incident in Turkey where they basically took each other out. And I think they had a little sit-down together and went, you know, we really don't want to do that.
No. And, Vettel... I still think Vettel's still going to dominate, even though Mark Webber's a very capable driver. It's going
to
be tough for Mark Webber.
I would like to see Mark be more competitive this year. Last year, he just... I'm not sure what it was. Vettel, you know, maybe was riding the high from the championship. Vettel really never seemed to get on track the entire season. You know, the fact that he did not win a race, I think, was kind of telling.
You mean Webber?
Yeah.
Yes. No, and with Jean-Éric Vergne, if he does really well at Toro Rosso and Mark is just par for the course, it's done. It's over. This is our last season with Mark Webber, for sure. I really like what Jean-Éric says. Quote, we are looking quite good. We had a really good 4 days as a team at Jerez. The results are extremely good for winter testing, and we didn't have any major problems. I got a lot of mileage, so there are many positives, not much of a downside. Barcelona will be completely different, and we'll see how the car looks then. But still, I like this guy. No Trulli activity there. Now, on the other hand, Trulli still has his seat. Unbelievable, but true. And he hasn't been bitching and moaning.
Yet.
And he's been praising the power steering. So, Steven?
Yet.
Stop knocking him.
Yet.
No, we'll see what happens, but I agree.
It hurts me that he's got the seat.
Vandegaard is there and lurking.
Yeah. Well, he's got his seat and Vitantonio's sitting
in the bleachers. Vitantonio is distraught.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah. I mean, he's got a couple of lawyers. I bet you $10 he even called Flavio. You have Flavio. To call Flavio.
Yeah, exactly.
Flavio is always out there for his people. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Lots of, I mean, this thing is packed. It's almost like a big slice of pâté de campagne.
Do we have a special this weekend?
We don't have a special this weekend. We have a huge special weekend. I mean, we're talking podcast 553. An outstanding Scott driver by the name of Lewis Williamson. And this is one of those outstanding Nasser Hamid conversations that go into the depths of a driver's skill.
It is so...
Yeah, I mean, this guy's going to Formula One for sure. Nasser always nails it. And the best part is once he interviews these people, he brings them karma and they become winners. So there you have. Yeah, that's this weekend's special. Lewis Williamson, podcast number 553. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Sir, question for you. This segment is brought to you in part by Tylenol or NyQuil?
Vicks Vapor Rub.
Vicks Vapor Rub? Who's doing the rub? Desiree?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Okay, headlines. Hemi and Covey under new management, something you touched last week. We have a little bit more. Victory for Ford in Sweden. Back home again in Milwaukee for IndyCars. And sayonara from Vitor Mira. We shall start with World Rally Championship in Sweden. It's very cold in Sweden right now.
It's very snowy. You notice that?
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
I have no idea. Victory for Jari Martti Latvala in a Ford. Second was Citroën of Mikko Hirvonen. Ford took the next three spots also with Mads Osberg over Petter Solberg and Russia man Evgeny Novikov. He was fifth. He's pretty good. Your man Sebastian Loeb had issues and could only finish sixth. Best place Mini was eighth, driven by Patrick Sandell. And in the immortal words of Mr. Robbie Gordon, Mini is for girls. Did you see him at the Dakar rally?
Yeah, I love Robbie Gordon.
Robbie Gordon is classic.
Absolutely, total classic.
Never a dull moment with him, let me tell you that.
Absolutely. But, you know, Loeb finishing sixth, he's so bored. I think they've tied his hands behind his back just so he doesn't win a ninth consecutive world championship.
I think that's what's going to happen.
You think?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think that the numbers are stacked up. There's no way Loeb can... That's a record that's just beyond records.
Yeah. They should have kept the other Sebastian also to rattle his cage.
That would have been fun.
Yes. And talking of Sweden, I am in touch with the Marcus Ericsson fan club to set up an interview with him. Marcus is one of the preseason favorites for this year's GP2 championship, and you know his manager is Kenny Brack, who used to race here. Very pleased to say this weekend we will have a special podcast featuring a conversation with talented Mr. Lewis Williamson from Scotland the Brave. He will be racing in World Series by Renault this year, and he is for sure on his way to Formula One on the wings of Red Bull and a lot of racing natural talent. Very impressive. Skype is sizzling in the Palatial Studios. The following weekend, we will have a conversation with young Indian racer Aditya Patel. Past two seasons, he has competed in Scirocco Cup in Germania and this year will race in GT3, courtesy of Audi of India and Audi of Motherland, Deutschland. And Skype is interesting. I'm sitting here in beautiful small town California, and he's sitting in big city Chennai, previously known as Madras. And I learned something. You always learn, if you want to learn, that Chennai is the Detroit of India when it comes to motor manufacturing. And bet you did not know that.
No, and I learn every something new every day on this podcast.
Yeah, same here.
This is educational for sure.
Yeah, and it's educational worldwide.
Thank you.
Yeah, we not only talk about hot dogs and...
And the NASCAR point system?
Exactly. And buying the points to qualify without qualifying.
Which is my favorite part of the system.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, I've already sent an email off to Jean Todt suggesting...
Oh, NASCAR people don't listen to Jean Todt. They don't listen to anybody where they cannot pronounce the name.
They don't listen to anybody called Jean, that's for sure.
Exactly. Okay, next, under new management, Hemi and Covey. Simon Fuller's 19 Entertainment has made a much-needed smart move and enrolled the services of Didier Coton. He is from Belgium and is the owner of Aces Management, and his previous client is also his business partner, a gentleman by the name of Mika Hakkinen. They also have Christian Wolf as a partner. Mr. Wolf is also known as Toto Wolf, husband of Susie Stoddard, who is now known as Susie Wolf, and shareholder in Williams Grand Prix Racing. And this is a gentleman Bernie Ecclestone referred to the other day, that he should have more say in the running of Williams Grand Prix Racing. Hopefully they will provide Lewis the environment he needs to do what he does best and not have a wraparound festival in the F1 paddock, which was looking very silly. You know, Formula One is pretty serious business, and you need serious people around you to help you extract the best.
I know, but it could be a cultural thing. You know, Rihanna hanging out.
But that's a time.
Well, part of it was his girlfriend, too.
I mean, the spread in GQ magazine, that was pretty...
That aqua pants?
Yeah, it was
beautiful.
It looked like early 80s.
Absolutely.
I mean, not only was it bad taste, it was just hideous.
What is taste? You know, I mean...
I know nothing. I mean, if people saw how the Palatial Studios were decorated, they would, you know...
They would say, this is high class.
They would.
Exactly, at least some of them.
Mostly Gucci in here.
Yeah, exactly. Covey, on the other hand, has signed up with IMG, International Management Group. This was founded by Mark McCormick, who wrote the book on sports management. His early clients included Arnold Palmer, the greatest name from Latrobe, PA, since Rolling Rock, and the V. Scott himself, Sir Jackie Stewart. OMG, Danica Patrick is also with IMG. Covey said, this was very interesting, Covey said that he had to fight to get out of his contract with the ex-Milan stock market broker and marketing wizard at Benetton. Who could that be?
Flavio
Briatore.
But Flavio's a good manager. Mark Webber's loved Flavio.
And somebody loves him even more, even drove him when he got married. Fernando.
Yeah. El hombre macho. No, so Flavio, you know what? Flavio needs to come back to Formula One. I want to see the glasses. I want to see the mankini. We need Flavio.
Mankini, huh? Well, you know, I'll tell you, my everlasting image of two things that will stand out for Flavio for me is when nobody knew who Alonso was. I was reading an article in some racing magazine with Flavio, and he mentioned about up-and-coming young good drivers, and he said, for example, Fernando Alonso. And I had never heard of him, so I had some. I always keep some old Autosport magazine, so I started going back some old magazine, and there he was in series called Formula World Series by Nissan, which became in the World Series by Renault. And it was interesting how he came within a couple of years. He was a race winner and world champion. And of course, the other image I have is from the U.S. Grand Prix 2005. During that great race, the camera goes to him. He's having a bet with somebody saying, I predict Schumi first, Barrichello second. You want to bet? That was a beautiful race. And we were there.
It was still Formula One, NASCAR.
It was still, and the cars were screaming. And I will never forget how excited Thiago Monteiro was on his podium finish.
I thought it was beautiful.
And talking of Thiago, I've sent him a message through his PR lady, Racing Technology. Very nice looking PR lady, by the way. that I want to interview him through Skype. And he's tech-savvy. I saw him at some race running around with his laptop. Had a brief chat with him. But let's see what happens. So Skype is going to take us many places. Places we wanted to go, but where the $0 would not take us. Yes. That's the difference.
That we know all about.
Exactly. Back home again in Milwaukee this time. The Milwaukee Mile, oldest racing track in the world, still in operation. This has been in operation, I believe, since 1906. Older than Indy.
Have you been to this racetrack?
I have never been to the great state of Wisconsin.
Nor have I.
We should go there.
Is it on a pilgrimage, perhaps?
No, we should, seriously.
We
because
could get some cheese.
And yes. Beer and brats.
There you go.
Wisconsin.
And the greatest racing track in the United States of America is in Wisconsin, Road America.
Of course.
So that I think is we're a very, very nice track.
We're going to Wisconsin.
When are we going?
Next year.
No, we should go
we'll
there.
Load up the F1Weekly.com recreational vehicle.
That would be the Toyota Camry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. No, it's a good place. I would love to see a race at Road America, that's for sure. And do you remember the accident Catherine Legg had at... I was watching that. I just could not believe that she came out alive. And I'm very happy for her, obviously.
Yeah, that was pretty frightening.
Very, very heavy accident. Okay, now, Michael Andretti has taken over the operation, the promotion of the event and the race. This was a very traditional race in days gone by before TG showed up on the screen, on the scene, I should say. They would do the Indy 500, and the very next weekend was the Milwaukee Mile. Yeah. So this time this will be in mid-June, I think 2 weeks after the Indy 500. Now, those interested in Indy cars should watch Michael Andretti, that is, in his younger days at Milwaukee, absolutely amazing and phenomenal in passing people on the outside. We are talking Craco days, Maurice Crane's, okay? Perhaps Larry Carter and Christopher in Luling, Louisiana know what I'm talking about.
Now, is this before the McLaren days?
Oh, long before. This we're talking about 86, 87. Okay. I kid you not, Michael Andretti on a short oval was a complete animal, out of control. I remember watching a couple of times with my friend, Mr. Dan Rubel, and he would make passes on a short oval, and we would just look at each other. Wow, on the outside, this guy was phenomenal. No question about it. More IndyCar news, new Leader Circle Program rewards. This is quite a big name. This is like the payout of TV money in F1 to top teams. IndyCar CEO Randy Bernard selected Ed Carpenter and Jay Penske to receive $1,168,559, but his decision left some red faces in the paddock, especially team owners like Brian Herta, who had the winning car at Indy, and Bobby Rahal. Jay's papito is Roger Penske, and Ed Carpenter's step papito is Tony George. And that was the final nail in the coffin for those who were not enrolled at birth in the Privileged Club, also known as the LSC. I'm sure you know what that stands for.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, man.
I'm trying. Now we come to a sad moment. Sayonara from Meira. Vitor Meira, a pretty decent driver from Brazil in the IndyCar series for many years, has now decided on a one-way ticket to Rio. Could have been one-way ticket to Sao Paulo. I've not been able to verify that. And he will now take part in Brazilian Tin Top Series. And we wish him all the best. Some driver signing news. Now, this is late-breaking news. It's not even typed. It's so fresh. Because just before I came to...
I heard the ticker ticking.
Yeah, I was in the green room sipping green tea. What a coincidence. When I looked on the web, you know, and there was this... Our friend, my distant cousin, Luis Felipe Nasr, has signed with Dams to be in GP2 this year. And this is the same team with Romain Grosjean took the championship. Okay, more news. Another Brazilian, Lucas Forestry, who raced in British F3 last year and is managed by Roberto Moreno, will be in World Series by Renault this year with Dams. His teammate will be Arthur Peak, younger brother of Charles Peak. Let me tell you, 1982 September, first time I go to a Grand Prix track, Brands Hatch. And this is interesting. There was this Formula Ford race going on, and I met a team. Their name was Aeolic Racing Team, ART. And I don't know if the driver was with them, but one of their friends was a young driver, Carl Jones, Carl with a K, and he was trying to do Formula Ford, and I, you know, talked to him quite a bit. And I asked him, he mentioned how fast he had gone. It was just very close to the track record for Formula Ford. So I asked him who has the track record for Formula Ford. He goes, Roberto Marinho. And later on, Carl Jones was from Wales. He moved up the ranks and did many years of British touring cars. So one of these days, I may have to go and track him down with Mr. Brazier.
Keep up the good work, Nasser.
Yeah.
You know, it was Charles Peake's birthday, February 15th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same as my older brother's birthday.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know, Nasser.
And your older brother is also Charles Rogers?
No, it's Daniel.
Daniel, okay. So good. Did you send a card to Charles?
Of course. We're professionals here at F1 Weekly.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Marco Wittmann, ex-Willy Weber client, but still a friend of F1 Weekly, has been signed as a reserve driver for BMW and DTM, and the whole BMW platoon were testing the new DTM cars at Estoril near Cascais in Portugalistan. This, of course, where Ayrton Senna took his first Grand Prix win. The DTM will also have an American flavor this year with Joey Hahn from Northern California driving for Bavarian Motor Works, which is a good thing. Spaniard Daniel Juncadea will stay in F3 Euro Series for a third season with Italian Prema Power Team. Juncadea's day of days came last year when he held off Felipe Nasr and Marco Wittmann to win the Macau F3 Grand Prix. You know, poor Marco Wittmann. He completely dominated the qualifying race, and then they do the actual second race, and he was a runaway winner of that race. Nobody could catch him running away, and late in the race, there was a yellow caution.
Caution?
Yeah, caution in Macau. And on the restart, four or five drivers ganged up on him and just, like, butchered him. But he fought back to finish third. I believe it was third. But Daniel Juncadea, he had his biggest day of his racing career. So good for him. And thanks to our secret Swiss IT connections, I was able to watch the race live on the web. And we may need their services again when the other series are racing and they're not being televised here. World Series by Renault, your favorite series. Arden International, owned by Christian Horner, and Caterham Team, owned by Tony Fernandez, have joined forces to form Arden Caterham Motorsport, ACM. Lewis Williamson is already announced, and media reports suggest Alexander Rossi will get the second seat. Rossi last year raced with Fortec Motorsports, who this year will have Dutch driver Robin Vreen. So we are now getting to a point where in all these major series below F1, we have quite a few friends, and I'm very happy.
So F1 Weekly is finally making some inroads.
Oh, serious inroads. And one of these kids, Esteban Gutierrez, probably might be in Formula 1 next year.
So we can't be denied forever.
No. The powers that be FOM can say you are not going to get credentials because you are web-based flunkies from California. But you know what? We're going to do the they have put together, FOM has put together a Maginot line. So we're going to get a Panzer tank. And what are we going to do?
We'll just go through Belgium.
Exactly.
Run it over from behind.
We're going to get an old Panzer, and we'll just, they won't allow us onto the track.
What if they put up Panzer speed bumps?
And then we'll bring the Big Bertha.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. I like Big Bertha.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. And, hey, if we cannot go to the track, we'll fly down to Brasilia or Monterrey, Mexico, or somewhere in Europe.
Maybe we should lie about where we come from, because I think FOM is picturing like four surfer dudes.
What do you do? Tell them we're from
Calais,
Ponca City, Oklahoma. I'll take it seriously.
That would work, Karachi. Yeah.
Oh no! I tell you, we say we are from Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
One of my favorite
lots of oil wells there, and Bernie will be there.
That's true. Yeah.
Can I build a Grand Prix track here?
Good thinking, Nasser.
Yes, sir. Okay, moving forward. Last week it was announced. This was a surprise, but I had a little inside info. Jules Bianchi will race with Tech One, French team based in Toulouse. His teammate will be talented Estonian Kevin Corius, who was rookie last year and won three races. And in previous life, he also won the Formula Renault Euro Cup. So it's very good. In the next... Oh, see, the typo was The typewritten message was, in the next few days, we will know if Felipe Nasr is racing in this series or going GP2. And thanks to the web, thanks through Globo Esporto or something like that from Brazil, he is now announced as a driver for DEM. So I'm very, very happy.
I'm not surprised. He's a good driver.
He's a very good driver, and looks like it was all in Portuguese. I tried to do a little translation. Felipe Nasr is saying that this is a two-year program. I want to get on with the program because, you know, going against people who have 3-4 years of GP2 experience is going to be pretty tough. So learn the business. I always say sink in the system, learn the business, and then come on strong.
Win the championship the following year.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a very rare talent that's going to win first time. Who has done that in the last 5 years?
Oh, God, those names just always escape me now.
Do you remember? They are so quick before you think they're gone.
Well, part of that, too, is the depth of field in GP2 has just gotten so deep.
Yeah, it's
in
very,
the last 5 years. It's just ridiculous.
Very strong.
You can't really come in as a rookie, like, say, somebody like Lewis did, and just take over that series.
And, you know, you mentioned the name Lewis. Yesterday I taped the German Grand Prix, and previously I think it was the Turkish Grand Prix. I'm just going to say this thing. If a guy has a bad season, wins 3 races, and his teammate has a great season and wins 3 races, this really tells you how good this kid can be if he doesn't have excess baggage.
I don't know. We'll see how Fernando does this year.
Yeah, if the car is good, he's going to do very good.
You think? Well,
one thing is for sure. If Ferrari has a world champion in the next 2 years, it's going to be Fernando Alonso.
You think?
Oh, yeah, I know so. Not only thing. But what I would really like to see, you know, not this year, maybe next year. I just have a feeling you were mentioning in the previous segment, Jean-Éric Vergne. I just have a very strong feeling that this is the next French world champion. You know, 2 years ago, the talk was all Jules Bianchi, and who's very good, Romain Grosjean, who's very good, and this is the problem in motor racing. Somebody can just come
all
from,
of a sudden, there's better.
Yeah, somebody comes and blows away. And, you know, his time, he was a wee bit slower than Ricciardo. So, and you know, you're talking about lovey-dovey. He had a lot of lovey-dovey going on last year in World Series by Renault with his teammate, Robert Wickens. And they also have a nice video that you can watch on YouTube. But when there was cage rattling in the final race, l'amour was gone very quickly. But I would love to see Vettel and Jean-Éric Vergne, you know, some tough competition.
I think we're going to see some good competition this year, especially with Kimi Räikkönen coming back. And he may have a competitive vehicle, my friend.
Oh, yeah, I certainly hope so. But see, you said it right there. If this guy gets, if he's the alpha dog or the alpha moose, you know, coming from Finland, if he's the alpha moose on that team and Romain Grosjean could not do anything, that Eric Bouye is going to tell Romain Grosjean, let me give you Nick Heidfeld's phone number. See if you can guys go and play some billiard. It's pretty brutal, Formula One.
I think it's more about you're supporting number one, race your ass off to give him a better chance of winning.
Yeah, it's.
I believe Kimi will be number one at that team.
Yeah, it's a lot of.
That's the bigger. They just weigh the check.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is pretty very good. Okay, so we mentioned about Toulouse and Felipe. Okay, talking of GP2, Hapidos, as we call it. The season starts in Sepang with the Malaysian Grand Prix, and all GP2 and GP3 races will be live on Sky Sports F1 HD in the UK. This is very important. Miss Kylie Minogue will perform at F1 Rocks at the base of Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur 2 days before the Malaysian Grand Prix. That should be fun. And Fabio Laimer, you know who he is, from Switzerland. He moves from Raypex to Racing Engineering for his third season in GP2. See, there you go. Third year in GP2. Ooh. So he will have an edge on rookies.
Yeah, but then you're going into Pastor Maldonado kind of.
Nah. If you have to go to, my take is this. If you have to go to GP2 third year, you're better off coming here, IndyCar Racing, and go with a decent team, Ray Hall, something that can help you succeed. Because, you know, if you go 3 years in GP3, you are really exposing yourself, a rookie or a second-year driver coming and blowing you away. And having said that, we wish everybody all the best, as we always do. Okay, so Fabio will have his work cut out against Davide Valsecchi, who has been racing in GP2 for many years. Esteban Gutierrez, it will be his second year. Last year he did win a race, which is always good, and he looked very feisty in the couple of races they have in the GP2 season. Marcus Ericsson, our man from Sweden, he's in his been his third year, and he's still only like 21, 22 years old. Stefano Coletti, he's pretty quick, not very consistent, but he can be very quick from Monaco, and I think a driver that may surprise quite a few, even though he's not a big name right now, and that is James Collado from United Kingdom. Last year he won a race in the GP2 Abdab Festival, which is
and throw on top of that, you know, the likes of Felipe Nasr and Jules Bianchi.
Yeah,
it's going to be a really crowded field.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's going to be brutal. And there is no more GP2 Asia after the extended GP2 main series season is over. That's all, folks. Please, and I repeat, please, don't forget, this weekend is the season opener of NASCAR at Daytona. Das Vidania, till then.
Nasr, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I do have a question about this weekend's NASCAR season debut opener. Of course, we know that Danica Patrick, you know, she made the cut, qualified. Your predictions, whether she'll finish the race or go into the wall?
I think she has a lot of experience. I have to say one thing about her. You know, what she is doing is very, very commendable. No way on, I cannot speak for yours, Steve. No way on earth I can drive a car at 200 miles per hour. It's just not. So what she's doing is very commendable. Will she finish the race? I think she will, because she has a lot of experience, and you know, she's no slouch. And but then again, in so many cars there, and you can be a victim of somebody else's problem, you know. And but you know, the race, as always, is probably going to come down to, you know, Ahahu caution, three laps to go. Then they have a competition yellow. And I still say her chance of winning a race in NASCAR are much greater and probably will be faster than in IndyCar racing.
I believe you. And one more question. How many tire fires?
Tire fires, probably 3 tire fire. Let's just hope the pace car is not stolen during the national anthem, as has happened in the past.
Exactly, which is a classic American scenario. Let's go right into the wrap up, shall we?
Wrap it up, I'll take it.
Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2012 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, just contact CameronKarting.com. The 2012 Motorsports Memories Calendar, one and only. There's a few left on the shelf. Just go to our merchandise page and click Order 16, preferably. quickly, go to MySpace, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter, and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@f1weekly.com. We're getting ready for the season, and if you want to put a live read in, we're looking for Motorsports Mondial advertisement. It's a good time to get in now before the season starts, because once the season starts, the price is double. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.